Thank you. We're going to leave Isaiah for a few weeks and move to the subject of Christmas. And today we are going to begin in Philippians, the second chapter in the fifth verse. Philippians, that's in the New Testament. Second chapter, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we would that you would take this moment, that you would make it yours, that you would teach us the true meaning of Christmas, that you would teach us of this great gift that you have given us. And Father, that we would not be the same, that we would carry the message of Jesus to others. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, it's Christmas. I don't know about you, but our early Christmases always involved trips. There was the Christmas trips. Now, the Christmas trips for some are easy, for some not so much. When our children were very young, our Christmas trips meant that we had to pack everything. When you have a baby and you travel, everything that goes with that baby has to go with you. Now, in those days, that meant we had to have a playpen. We didn't have these convertible things where one thing did everything. Oh, no. We had playpens, and then we had strollers and blankets and diapers and diapers and diapers. And by the way, that was in the day when you didn't have these things that you buy and put on and throw away. These were the ones that you had to wash, and so there was effort involved. But anyway, you loaded that car, and this is why we have always had a van, because you had to load up in order to get where you were going, because we never lived in the city of our parents. And so we would load up for the Christmas trip, and then we would go to wherever we had to go, and then we would have to go to the other house, which was 60 miles away. And so, and our parents were so kind to us, they didn't mind us going to the other parent as long as we showed up at their house on Christmas Day, and that there were equal hours of the day for each time. And so we would make that trip. And many of you have had to make that trip. Some of you are planning your packing even now. When Jesus was born, there was the Christmas trip. Not like yours at all or mine. It was a trip that would change everything. Now, you know a lot about the trip of Jesus and the trip of Mary and Joseph. They were in Nazareth, and they would go from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem, and that was kind of a trek. It was 90 miles, and they did not have cars. They did not have buses. They did not have trains, and they did not have planes. They did have a mule, and so they would use a donkey, but they had one donkey, and so they both did not ride. One would ride. Most of the time, they would both walk. For the animal was for the supplies, not really for the people. When was the last time you walked 90 miles? It wasn't a day trip. It was multiple days, maybe even a week, and usually it was a week's trip. This trip was even harder. Mary was pregnant. Now, in reality, in the world of science, there's no almost pregnant. There is no really pregnant. There's no very pregnant. You're pregnant or you're not pregnant. But for women who have been through this process, there are stages in pregnancy where you are carrying more of the load. And so there's a time when people would say they're very pregnant, which means any day now they're going to give birth. So Mary was very pregnant. She was in her last days. All the other time has gone, and now in her last days, Joseph wants to go to Bethlehem where he was born. Now, she couldn't blame him because it wasn't his idea. It was the idea of Augustus Caesar. And Augustus Caesar declared that all the land should be taxed and they should have to go to the place of their birth, and it was a census. God put it in Augustus's mind. Think of the time frame. It was not easy to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was not easy to get the message of the tax from Rome to Israel. And yet everything happened in just a certain way so that Jesus would be born exactly at the right time in the right place. God had all things planned out. So the tax was there, and they would travel, and they traveled, and everybody was going to their hometown. And Bethlehem was a small place, but a lot of people had been born in Bethlehem. It was the city of David. And so he went back there, and it was crowded. There was a hotel there, an inn, if you will, but you know, everything was crowded. If you've ever seen a play where they play out the Christmas story, there's a villain in it. Do you know the villain? The villain was the innkeeper. For the innkeeper had his line, and you know the line. The innkeeper said what? There's no room in the inn. Where did he get that? There is no innkeeper in the Bible. Those words were never said. Well, they were said. I mean, we were told there was no room. But they weren't said by an innkeeper as far as we know. So Joseph ended up finding a place in a stable. It was a manger. It was a hollowed out cave is where their stables were. And there Mary would be with the expected child. Now, I know this sounds terrible to you, but it's better than being in the open field or on the open road. There was at least a covering involved. It was a long trip. They made the trip. But the trip was longer than that. Mary and Joseph's trip was that far, but Jesus' trip was further. See, Jesus is not you and Jesus is not me. We come into being at conception. Jesus existed before he was born. He existed before he existed on the earth. And so Jesus had a longer trip. We need to know the importance of Jesus coming. There are four passages that it would be good for you to take note of and read through the Christmas season. You want to know why Jesus came? Read John 1, Philippians 2, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. Matthew and Luke tells us the story on our side. But these passages tell us the importance of why he came. We need to know the importance. This is why we gather to worship. It's why we celebrate Jesus. When Jesus was born, something very important happened that we could not have dreamed of or wished for. Something that could allow us to be forgiven. Something that could allow God to receive us into heaven. When Jesus was born, he made the Christmas trip. He came from splendor to a stable. Philippians 2:6, Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, before Jesus was born, he had the attributes of God. In this verse, it says he was in the form of God. The word form, the word morph, it doesn't mean physical shape. It's deeper than that. It means to carry the essence, the essential nature. Jesus had the essential nature of God before he was born. Jesus had the essential nature of God. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus, you see, did not start in the manger. Jesus was here at the beginning of it all. He was with God because he is God. And that's something most people miss. A lot of people will tell you the Christmas story and they will talk about Jesus being the Son of God, and they miss altogether that he is God. God's Son, yes. But he is God and nothing less. In John 5:18, therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also that God said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Who said Jesus was God? Jesus did. John 10:38. Believe the works that you may know that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. John 14:9. Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Before Jesus was born, he was in the form of God. He was equal with God. Nothing less. Matthew 2:6 tells us that he was equal. The Greek word isos. Ever hear of an isosceles triangle? Equal sides. And so Jesus is equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Spirit. When it says Jesus was equal with God, it means he was equal with God in every way. Now, when he was born, he did not stop being equal with God. And you got to follow this because it boggles our minds because our minds don't really grasp it all. There was a time when Jesus was God and he was not man. Then there was a time when Jesus was God and he was man. Never was there a time when Jesus was man and not God. Never was there a time when he was part man and part God. Jesus was always totally God, and he became totally man, and he was totally God and totally man at the same time. When Jesus was born, the essential nature of God, the form of God, was placed in the physical form of a human body. He didn't stop being God. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Jesus was all-knowing. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where to go. He knew what was things would fall into place. He knew that Judas would betray him. Were there things he set aside in his knowledge? Yes, there were. But that was because he set them aside so that he might minister to us. In John 2, he knew what was in man. He came and he became us and he knew what we are. He knows what we are. Omnipotence, that's a trait of God, all power. Well, Jesus had all power. He set things aside to be as us, but you know, it was the power of God that stilled the winds and calmed the waves. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. On earth, Jesus bound himself to a body. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. How humbling was this? He's on the throne of heaven. He brought the earth together. There's not anything that was made that he did not make. He did that all. And he humbled himself to a manger. Yeah, but think of this. He humbled himself to Mary's womb for 9 months. He chose to limit himself to the womb of Mary. And Jesus today has his omnipresence. If you are a believer, if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is with you. He will never leave you. In fact, he said and promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus had the mind of God. In 2:6, he was equal with God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, robbery we know of because it happens all around us every day. That's when somebody takes something that's not theirs and they take it themselves. They steal it and they possess it. Jesus did not have to steal equality with God because he is God. And he's God all the time. Robbery has a tint of selfishness involved with it. There is no selfishness in Jesus. From the splendor of heaven to the womb of Mary. Think of this. Almighty God allowing himself to have to be changed in diapers. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew that man would sin. Knowing that man would sin, God made a plan to care for man's sin because he knew that man couldn't do it for himself. Jesus steps forward and he is willing to put his rights as God on hold that he might become a Savior for you and for me. In a moment of time, Jesus left heaven's glory for the Christmas story. From heaven's praise to a stable to hear donkeys braise. From splendor to the stable. Nothing could compare to the Christmas trip of Jesus. Nothing could compare to how he humbled himself for you and for me. From splendor to the stable. But more than that, When Jesus was born, he came down to go from the cross, from the cradle to the cross. Philippians 2:6, he made himself of no reputation. No reputation means he emptied himself. He was still God, but he emptied himself of
the power of the Godhead. He emptied himself of the rights that he had as God, that he might live as us. He was God, but he didn't appear as God. He looked like a regular guy. There's nothing about him that would distinguish him. Jesus humbled himself so much. Now, there were times that he let a little glory show through, the Mount of Transfiguration, when he let a little bit of his glory show through and astounded the disciples that were there. But he kept most of that set aside. He knows what it is to be like you. He knows what it is to be mistreated because he was mistreated. He knows what it is to be lied about, for he was lied about. He knows what it is to be tempted because he was tempted like you, but more than you. Think of it. I've thought about this a lot. You know, to be tempted as we're tempted. You may be tempted to punch somebody in the face. Jesus had the power to turn them into a toad frog. And he didn't do it. He knows what it is to have sorrow. For Jesus wept when people would not receive him. He grieved with others. He humbled himself. He came down to make God accessible to us. Many people today are not accessible. There is some lady that sings, and everybody's really wild about this woman that sings, and they're watching football now because she has a fiance that plays football. Taylor Swift. I knew somebody would say that name. And you know, we have a whole group of people who are Swifties. And, you know, they follow Taylor. But, you know, it's kind of hard to get to Taylor. She's not that accessible. You know, the president lives in the people's house, but try to get the people to him, it's kind of hard to do. He's not that accessible. There is no way you could approach the throne of God, but Jesus came down. He humbled himself to walk among us that we might know that he is accessible to us. When Jesus came, he was accessible. He was accessible to the poor. I mean, Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He was accessible to the rich. Remember Nicodemus coming to him by night? And then there was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the rich man that climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus. And what he didn't know was Jesus was coming to his house all the time. He was accessible to the blind. Bartimaeus wanted somebody to point him out to Jesus. And Jesus came to him and he received his sight. The lame was accessible to Jesus. They couldn't get to Jesus. Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda and told the man to rise and walk, and he did, and he was able to do that. He was accessible to the old. As a baby, he was taken to the temple, and there Simeon, over 100 years of age, had been waiting for a glimpse of the Messiah. And once he saw Jesus, he was ready to go home. He was accessible to children. A little girl died, and Jesus went to her and said, "Little girl, arise," and she found life. Jesus was accessible for that exact purpose, to allow us to know life. The good news of Christmas is by Jesus we have access to God and God's heaven. When Jesus was born, he came not just to be a person, not just to be a baby, not just to walk among men. He came to offer himself as a sacrifice because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. He came to the cross in 2:8. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nobody made Jesus go to the cross. He came in obedience to the Father, knowing as God that it was the sacrifice that must be made. He didn't have to die. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the truth is you have to die. I have to die. There is a clock ticking on every one of us, and I hope I get through before I go. Some of you may be hoping that I go, so I'll be through. I have to die because I am a sinner and the wages of sin is death. Jesus never sinned. He did not have to die. But he was willing to go to the cross, willing to die there, to suffer and bleed and give himself, to become a curse on that place of shame. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. He put away his crown to humble himself to the cradle. And from the cradle, he took on the shame and the curse of the cross to die for you and me. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross, so that you might receive him and be forgiven. So from splendor to the stable, from the cradle to the cross, but that's not the end of the Christmas trip. The Christmas trip took Jesus from the thorns to the throne. Jesus existed in eternity past. He came into this world. He was crucified, but the story does not end there. They took his body. They put it in a tomb. They thought that was it for Jesus. They expected his body to rot as they do in those tombs. Then they would take his bones and they would put it in an ossuary, a small box of bones, and that's how they kept their dead. But when they went to treat the body of Jesus was not there. Because Jesus came down from the throne, down to the womb, down to the stable. He came down from the cradle, down to the cross. He suffered, bled, and died and came down to the tomb. But my friend, up from the grave he arose. And once he arose from the dead, that was not the end. He let other people know that he's alive so that we would be able to tell others that he is alive. Death is not the end. Death is a continuation. For those that know the Lord, it is a blessed continuation. And he then from the Mount of Olives went up through the clouds and up out of sight, up to the throne of God. And if you read the Psalms, he came into heaven's gates to the glory of God, to the throne. Wherefore, in verse 9, God has highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him. The trip was not complete until he returned to his throne. God told Mary and Joseph, name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Name him Jesus, for there is no more precious name. Name him Jesus, because there will come a day, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I don't know if you read the passage or not with me, but it talks about everybody on the earth and everybody under the earth. What in the world does that mean? You see, everybody has a judgment day. And there will be a day that those that have died will have to stand in judgment, just like those that are living had to stand in judgment. You will be judged on whether or not you've received God's sacrifice, whether you've accepted what God has given, whether you've allowed Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. Now, you die in Jesus or you die in your sins. If you've accepted Jesus, you die in Jesus. Well, you've already bowed to Jesus, and you should live a life of bowing to Jesus. But if you've died in your sins, there's a judgment day for you, and you will know that Jesus is God, and you will bow before him knowing that you missed it. And you will accept judgment that will send you away from God's blessing into a place of torment. Now, that's not pleasant, but that's what the Bible teaches. God did not assign you to hell. But if you choose to go there, he will allow it. How do you choose to go there? By rejecting him. Jesus came not to be a baby in a manger, but to be a savior of your soul. And God has provided the information for you to know who he is, why he came, and the fact that you can receive him and invite him into your heart. And so today, if you have never made that choice, if you've rejected him and not allowed him into your heart, this is your opportunity to say, I want Jesus. I didn't realize God did that for me. I want Jesus. He will come into your heart. And hey, you may be thinking, oh, he won't want to forgive what I've done. My friend, his blood is enough to cover all that we have all done or will ever do. The sacrifice is offered. Will you receive it? Just come and say, I want Jesus. If you're online, just invite Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sins and save your soul. Ask him. And then come and be part of us. God calls you to a decision. And believer, maybe you haven't thought about all this for a long time. But if Jesus would make the Christmas trip for you, shouldn't you show up for worship him? Shouldn't you be in Sunday school for him? Shouldn't you tell other people about him? Shouldn't you get the sin out of your life that you might represent him? Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray and get everything squared away with Jesus today. God calls you to a decision. I hope you'll come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for our time today. I thank you for the knowledge that Jesus is God, that Jesus is your gift, that Jesus is a gift to make Christmas real in all of our hearts, but we have to receive him. We have to accept him as Savior and Lord. And so, Father, for those that have not made that decision, let them make it today. Let them just come and say, I want Jesus. Don't let them hold back for any reason. Let them come and say, I want Jesus, for I know you will save their soul today. And Father, for those of us that know you, oh God, that we would start serving you, that we would start telling others about you, that we would have your revival come to our heart this Christmas. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?